Welcome to the Ralph Moore Podcast. Gain the leadership advantage as Ralph pulls wisdom from his bag of over 50 years' experience in planting and leading multiplying churches. Our goal is to help you live as a leader you'd want to follow. You'll learn about making disciples and planting churches, but beyond that, you'll gain practical wisdom about subjects like how to manage your team, handling difficult people, pulling a congregation off a growth plateau, and even money management.
Hey, welcome to part two of my interview with John Termini, my new friend in Hawaii, somebody that I believe that God has sent there to continue the legacy of church multiplication in the state, something that was started by the early missionaries back in the 1700s, picked up again by the Roman Catholic Church. The Order of Sacred Hearts did a lot of church planting. They built the leper colony. They'd just done some incredible things. And then there was a Japanese pastor who came over on the first boatload of cane field workers who were almost slaves and started something called Makiki Christian Church. From there, they planted micro churches in cane field camps where all these migrant workers were. And then after World War II, the Southern Baptists had a real big role, big wave of church planting. Very exciting stuff has gone on in Hawaii. And of course, then there was us and New Hope, Wayne Cordero, Hope Chapels together. And that is kind of past. Those churches are still all there, but it feels to me like God called the Terminis there and the church, which is called the House Established, to Waimanalo, Hawaii, to launch the next wave. I'm very, very excited to know this man and hope that you will be too.
And it feels, yes, like you said, more and more local people are being like, okay, I don't think the Howley guy's going to leave, so that's good. You know, it's like, we've been here, we're not going anywhere, like, we love it. I'm actually here in New York, and my wife, Katie's like, I can't wait to get home. I'm like, we've only been here a week, you know, and a half or whatever.
It's funny what you said about I guess he's going to stay, because, you know, the Holly guy's going to stay, because we met that, right? When we finally bought a house, then people came to us and said, oh, so you're really going to stay here? And this was a long time after we had moved, and the church was booming. We'd even started churches, and they still thought we were going to leave, because that's been the history of Hawaii. You know, it goes all the way back to the whalers came and went. The people who ran the sugar thing came and went. Everybody came and took advantage of Hawaii, and then left the place, and few stayed to really bless the people that God had put there in the beginning. I'm so thrilled that you're doing this. So take us just a little further into where you think it's going to go in terms of, you know, I mean, the Lord's in the driver's seat, so nobody knows for sure. But like, I just hear you talking a little bit, and I've got a number of friends who, you know, when we built, we always saw Sunday as a convention, and church happened during the week, what we called mini church. And we linked it to what was taught on the weekend, and then applying it to your life. And so people got really, we actually got people really mobilized for ministry, and they were doing a lot outside. A lot of those people right now are frustrated, people in their 50s and 60s, and they're still meeting in their mini churches, and they're not going to any church on the weekend. And so I was just there a month or so ago, and I'm begging these people, you need to go to Waimanalo. You need to go see what's happening, because it's what you grew up in. You know, many of my friends came to Christ in our church. And I hear you saying you got all these young people and you could use some gray hair, some wisdom. And maybe some of the people listening to this might be hearing the Spirit talk through that. Kind of expand on that a little bit. And then I want to get into, you know, vision for planting, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's funny, going back to what you said about the house, you know, Katie and I, fortunate enough to, we just purchased a home, and super exciting. And it's so funny that you said that, because even my brother, Joe, he, you know, he's my brother. He knows I'm not going anywhere, but he goes, it just feels good that you have a house here. It just feels like it's more permanent, you know, and I just want to say, I really, oh man, I'm getting emotional just thinking about, I can imagine how the local people feel even being here a couple of years and realizing how the transient nature of this place. And it's a real thing. I'm grateful I'm not 22 and I'm 42 and I planted it when I was 39 and not 29 or 19, and not knocking any young leaders, but just, I'm just grateful for, just the understanding that it's people matter more than process and systems and structure and it's really my job, our job to, and I always say that our church on Sundays, whether it's in Waimanalo or town, it is an honor to serve the people in our community. And at the end of the day, a pastor's job, a shepherd's job, it is to serve the people on their left and right. And I don't get to choose. You know, I think sometimes I got frustrated with how white the church has been. I've gotten frustrated with, you know, sometimes that I was like, I wish it looked more like Waimanalo. And it looked, and I felt God even convicted me, if I'm being really honest. I remember after Sunday, it was especially early on. It went from like some local people checked it out, and then it got pretty, felt transient and white. And I remember one Sunday, I was really like, I felt like I was really frustrated and angry. And I felt God said to me, I did not tell you who was going to come to my church.
And I
felt God say my church, meaning it's not your church. You don't decide who comes. And I think one of the things, it's been an honor to build something. My prayer is that takes care of the land and not just the lives, because the land in Hawaii is really healing. And I believe that God wants to position churches and communities again to bring healing to the land, so it can bring healing to the lives around it. And I think it's really deeply all connected. And we, even when we started, we have a vision to take care of the land, to plant seeds, physical seeds in the ground. You know, the food insecurity in Hawaii is a massive thing. I think whatever we do right now, it cannot be microwaved. It has to be slow cooked. You know, as I go to Waimanalo, and sometimes I'll get invited to these parties in Waimanalo, I'm the only white dude within a 12 block radius. And I remember taking my daughter one night to a party. We were definitely the only white people there. And they were cooking outside, and they had been cooking all day. And I remember like they were feeding us, and I was like eating stuff that I won't try to even pronounce. I'm still learning. But as they were feeding, I was like, they're like, this took all day to cook, and we started last night. And I was like, man, you can't get this by doing it fast. And I think that the tension we're in right now is that the world and society is moving so fast, but God's not in a hurry. And so we're really trying to build something that's sustainable. And for me, it looks like making sure that the people, not that watch us on Instagram, not that watch us on social media, not even watch on a podcast, but just get to know Katie and I, they get to know like, hey, they love the people on their left and our right. We're here to cheer them on. I want to see local leaders raised up as you have desired, as I believe Pastor Wayne has desired and other leaders that have gone before us have. I want to see local leaders raised up. I don't want to be the guy. I want to raise up the next couple, the next man, the next woman, the next person, the next individuals who are going to take this on. And from the very beginning, coming out of what we came out of and just a lot of the church disruption, and I don't blame one person or one individual. I think that God's been simply taking his church back. But we have a real passion to build a church that our parents, our families are proud of. And I want to make sure that my church is, you know, a church that the kids in our church can be proud of, that one day your children, my children, your grandchildren can say, I'm proud of the church.
Yeah.
And so that's our heart.
That's very good. Talk to us a little bit about the rooms and what you're doing with the rooms. And also, I want to hear about, because I was there, I got to be there with you guys in the morning and then again in the evening in Kalalo Basin. Talk to us about that, how that worked out. But but especially I want to hear about the rooms, because to me, that's the heart of any church. When you get people face to face in small groups, they're eating together, and they're applying what the Spirit's saying to the way they're going to live their life. That's where rubber meets the road. And I was with some people not too long ago, and they look at it like Sunday morning is everything. And they, you know, I believe in excellence, but I don't believe perfection is excellence. One of the things that I saw when I was in Waimanalo is how well everything is done, but also how laid back it is still. And then the one person was complaining about his core team, about he doesn't have high value people on his core team. And I was taught early on that the measure of any church is how it treats its weakest member. And so I kind of scolded the guy about, you know, he's complaining. He has a core team. He's just complaining about the people that God sent. Like they're not good enough, or they're not talented enough, or, you know, they don't bring enough of the world into it, really. And I think we just have to let Jesus be in control. It's his church, not ours. And so, but talk to us a little bit about, I want you to get into the rooms, but I want to hear about Kiwala. It was so impressive. It was so crazy. The boat goes by and makes all the noise. Service has to stop for that. I see all these young kids. It was like, you know, going back 4 years. It was just delightful. But tell us how that developed.
Yeah, it's been really special, and I'll definitely touch on that. With the rooms, you know, I think first of all, you can't build a church or plant a church out of anything other than what you are, right? You have to just be it. And I think I learned this from Brian Houston, you know, at Hillsong. I think so many people try to emulate Hillsong the last couple decades, right? We've all heard a story, been a part of it, or even tried ourselves. Like, and you can't emulate. I think there was Daniel Lehman. He's on the Big Island, you know?
Yeah. I know Dan.
Yeah, so he told me a great story where he was in Sydney, Australia, and he was part of a band, and they were playing at all these different churches throughout Sydney, and they were on their way at the final night of the tour. They were playing at Hillsong Church in Sydney, Australia, in Balcombe Hills, and he said, "John, if I'm being honest, by the time I got to Hillsong, I was so over Hillsong." He says, because all the other churches that we had visited Australia were trying to do something that we had seen other Hillsong churches do. But mm-hmm. He goes, when I got to Hillsong that night, I was like, I'm already over this. But when he walked in and he saw the church, he was like, they're not trying to be Hillsong.
They are
Hillsong. And he said, he just was like, wow, this is what it's supposed to be like. And I just want to say, like, you can't come to Hawaii, and especially in Hawaii, people smell, like, you can't manufacture something.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? Like, you just have to be. So when I tell you we started Friday night dinners and had the slippers outside, that wasn't because that's something we thought we should do in Hawaii. Yeah. That's something that Katie and I, if you came to Brooklyn, we were doing. Like, yeah. If you came to an apartment in Manhattan, we were always hosting. We love having people over. We love eating with people. We love taking care of people. It's literally, I don't think our church could be that. It could be that unless we were that. That's who we are. And I think, I just want to say, like, I don't think there's anything, and I think it's weird when a church tries to create something it's not. I think we genuinely love having people over our house. Everything great in our church began in our living room. In fact, our office at the Coco Marina, we call it not the headquarters, we call it the living room, because we want it to feel like it's our living room, because everything was birthed out of that. I look at the early church, you are a scholar at this in my eyes. I mean, Acts 2:42, the breaking of the bread, they spent in small places, large places, like from the micro to the macro. You and I have had this discussion before. It really doesn't work in my mind, a church, any other way. I think Jesus has laid out, the early church has laid out a very simple formula for us to follow. And I think whoever you are, you should gravitate towards it. So for me, I'm a natural gatherer. I'm like, let's have everybody over. And so I think that's really how we launched it. The first room started our house, and I still have a room, and we're going to continue to have a room till the day that we die, because the church is supposed to be big and it's supposed to be small. And so the birth of the rooms is, you know, whether you call them connect groups, cell groups, small groups, there's a whole bunch of names for us. We say, if you want to make the house, which is, that's the name of the church, the house established. If you want to make the house a home, you join a room. And rooms, just where life happens. It's where community happens. It's where you hear your theology on Sunday and what we believe about God. I think it's A.W. Tozer who says what we believe about God is the most important thing about us. And where you hear about God, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in rooms, that's where you walk that out practically, right? What that looks like, the application of living out the Bible. And so I think sometimes, especially coming out of COVID, we've overcomplicated this. And I think the essence of that is just to get back to it. You know, and I'm going to say it, even like your son and other people, they come to us, they're like, man, the rooms here are just so amazing. How is this happening? And I'm like, I don't think it's happening because we like put a structure or a system in place. I think it's being us.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that God has a sense of humor and he's no dummy. And he brought us to a place called Hawaii. And it just so happens that family and community and dinner tables and eating together is very natural. And it's also very natural to the Termites. I learned a few things. For example, I learned you do not go to someone else's house without bringing something with you. I did that 5 or 6 times when I first got here. I went to the Momiz's house for an event. I walked in with my shoes on and didn't bring food, because in New York, we did go to people's houses and we had people over. But when we had people over, we made all the food.
Yeah.
So there are cultural differences, but for the most part, and I think you got to realize what you have to learn and adapt, and how you continue to be you. I love providing the food. So even now, I do something because I know it connects locally. I tell people, bring your favorite drink, because I like doing the meal, but I want people to still feel like they can gather and be a part of it. So I think it's just always striking that balance of continuing to be you wherever you are, and really honoring and respecting the local culture around you. And me and Katie, we always say all the time, we still have a lot to learn. But I think what I love about Hawaii, and I think the most authentic part of it, especially the local people of Waimanalo, is they don't want you to be anything other than you. You know, like, and they actually don't like when you try to be that.
That's right. That's right. One of the things that I noticed about you is that you don't try to talk pigeon. That's suicide. When I was there we lived there for 35 years, I think. About 20 years in, people start coming to me and saying, you know, you're Kamaaina. You're one of us now. And Kamaaina just means an outsider who's lived there for a long time. I wouldn't even accept that. I'd go, no. I'm just a white guy from the mainland that's fortunate enough to live in your house, because I saw the state as a house that people lived in. And they would compliment that, because it was better than trying to fake pigeon and trying to fit in where you don't fit in, because you never totally will. And yet, you know, moving back to the mainland, it's like, I'm lost here. I've been here 7 years we're in our fourth church. We can't find the kind of community that we knew in Hawaii. I wanted to say one thing. I think, you know, you said something about, you call them small groups, whatever they call them. I think that words have meaning. And too often, you know, I've been in a church recently that they call them small groups. Well, that doesn't really say anything. You know, to say it's a room suggests something. And I think we really need to think this whole thing through. I think the fact that a senior pastor will tell me, well, I'm too busy to lead one myself, I hire somebody else to direct that whole thing. If you're not doing it yourself, how can you understand what people are actually going through and coach the rest of the leaders? It's just got to be. And I, you know, while I'm rattling on here, one of the best things for me, I went to Hillsong twice to City Campus. And I forget the guy's name. It was David. I can't remember the person's name, but he was in charge of connecting new people. I've never seen a church in my life, and I grew up in church, that knew how to make brand new people feel loved better than that one. And it's so personal. And they get you in this coffee shop that's a gorgeous little coffee shop, and there's a menu and you can order from it, and it's all free. And you think you're going in there to get a pitch about the church, and the person that has met you is there to learn about you. And then the next week, if you want to come back, we'll talk about the church. And it goes on, and they were pretty organized about it. But there's 8,000 people in that campus and 17,000 in the hills, and they're doing that same kind of thing. And yet I see churches that are so stuck in the program thing. You know, one of my friends is Rick Warren, and I love the book he wrote about purpose-driven church. But sometimes people thin that book down to the baseball diamond thing, and that's all they got. And they miss Rick. They miss his heart. They miss the heart of the need that people have to be connected and noticed and listened to and loved. I just love what you guys are doing. I hear about it all the time from Carl and Kristen, my son and daughter-in-law, in their room. And
what God's doing up there on the North Shore right now.
It's exploding, but they've actually, in their same house, they've turned it into three rooms in the house because there's so many people that they can't be all together. I think that's super great.
Talk to us. Sort of like the early church, you know?
Yeah. So,
church.
You know, when you read Romans 16, scholars believe that when Paul was writing to the church at Rome, it was basically three house churches. And that was all it was. And, you know, that became the cornerstone of New Testament theology, but small matters as much as big to God.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe and check his blog at ralphmoore.net.